Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, today is the day, the beginning of the rest of your life, of the rest of my life, the rest of all of our lives here on Spaceship Earth. Thank you so much for joining us. It is September 12th, 2011. I want to open the phones up again. Obviously, we'll get into the nuclear weapons facility that had a big explosion at it in France. More and more radiological disasters, Japan, Canada, the U.S., France. We learned now that in the 50s, they had a big reactor blow up in Simi Valley, worse than Chernobyl. I'm all about technology, but these companies obviously don't know how to operate these systems safely, and they are using old 30, 40, 50-year-old systems and never upgrading, and they're just melting down and exploding all over the place and leaking, and I've had enough of it. And their answer is to have George Monbiot on the left come out here in Fukushima and say, why Fukushima made me love nuclear. Just a weird psychological warfare thing where you catch somebody in bed with your wife or catch somebody, you know, hacking your child's head in with an axe, and they say, don't you want to thank me? Isn't it nice? Don't you love me? See, it's all psychological warfare in your face just to dominate you. Yeah, the TSA's going in your pants. Yeah, we're setting up checkpoints and taking your blood without a warrant. Yeah, we're banning lemonade stands and gardens in your yard. You got a problem with it? Huh? We rule you, period. And so Monbiot came out and said, I like radiation. It's good. And Ann Coulter said the Japanese ought to be thankful. They've already had deaths over there. They've got radiation poisoning, millions of people. The prime minister's had to resign. They knew within a week that five of the six reactors totally melted down and blew up. I watched the video of it. Blowing the reactors thousands of feet into the sky. You bet it was a big explosion. Total breach. Radiation raining down now for 6 months here in the U.S. Milk, food, all radiation. Government just raises the level of what they say safe. And now they've got a MOX reactor system where they're turning hydrogen bombs into fuel for MOX reactors, like the one that blew up, Fukushima 3, that's so nutritious for us. And it's raining down on us. It's just incredible. Explosion at French nuclear site kills one. No leak. Just like Japan said, there's no leak. Turned out the whole time they were lying. Oh, keep the schools open 3 miles away. Everything's fine. Oh, you're turning red and vomiting and your teeth are falling out? Well, that's all right. It's good for you. Ann Coulter says the Japanese ought to be thankful. She actually said, oh, this is the thing. You ought to be thankful. The troops. Pentagon wouldn't let them use depleted uranium until 21 years ago. They had the stuff in the 50s. They had it in the armories along the line with Eastern Europe in case the Russians invaded as an emergency weapon. But they did something in 1991. They just said, you know, we're going to start using this. And now they just say, use it everywhere. No decontamination. You let them use it at proving grounds and firing ranges all over the U.S. Let the troops breathe it. Every time you fire, whether it's a 223, 308, 50 cal, and right on up to Abrams, Sabos, just go ahead and breathe it, and it ignites when it goes up the barrel, and you get a death dose of it, and it's just revel in death, revel in evil. Let's be honest about the insanity of the elites. Another nuclear disaster, and now it's just like, well, that's what we do. Chernobyl alone doubled the level of radiation in the Northern Hemisphere. South of the equator, they have half the radiation that we do because the winds go in circles and really don't go south. One event doubled background radiation. And now just blowing up here, blowing up there. Oh, everything's wonderful. We'll raise the level of radioactive isotopes we say safe 1,000 times for this isotope. How about 100,000 times for this one? How about 25,000 times for that one? All right, we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Stay with me. InfoWars Nightly News coming up tonight, 7 o'clock.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, George Monbiot on the controlled globalist left should be very happy, and Ann Coulter on the controlled globalist right, that's how they keep us all on the reservation, should be pleased. Both of them praised Fukushima and said that radiation is no longer a health issue. That's the new spin. Why Fukushima made me stop worrying about and love nuclear power. Again, why Fukushima made me stop worrying and love nuclear power. Japan's disaster would weigh more heavily if there were less harmful alternatives. Atomic power is part of the mix. That's a guy who openly calls for world government, an authoritative world government, but also criticizes those that don't want one as being delusional. And you can also pull up the Ann Coulter. What was the headline? Ann Coulter says Japanese should be thankful for radiation and says that it will help their health. Now, the reason I raised this out of the gates on this September 12th, 2011, 10 years and one day after the tragic event, the reason I raised this up front is we are seeing disasters all the time now that in the aggregate are going to be much, much worse for human life than 9/11. The United Nations' own estimations, and I've talked to top scientists, I've looked at the numbers, it's probably a conservative estimate, is that 1 million people in the decades since Chernobyl in 1986, that 1 million people have died from complications directly linked to the meltdown at that reactor and explosion that spewed radioactive isotopes in all different directions. Now, it's been estimated that, and we had different physicists and radiologists on, but it's been estimated that the 5 reactors, all of which were many times bigger than Chernobyl, that completely exploded and melted down, each one could have spewed more than 10 times the radiation of Fukushima. This is a big, big deal. But meanwhile, it isn't an issue because it doesn't instantly kill you. It doesn't instantly kill you. Yes, there's been radiation sickness. Yes, there's been deaths connected to people from radiation sickness. That's in Japanese news. But it's still a minor footnote. The Japanese are so culturally tough that you're not supposed to even complain, especially if it's seen as part of a shared disaster. And there have been some suicides of prominent officials and a lot of resignations of physicists who lied for the government and the prime minister. And so they are actually punishing people, and they're talking about criminal charges because they didn't want to cause a panic, they say, so they lied. And so there's no radiation. And you know, I noticed in those 3 prefectures around Fukushima, those 3 states, it would just say for months, not recording, not reporting levels of radiation. But we knew from groups picking up radioactive isotopes, universities here in the U.S. and even Europe, that there were isotopes that are only released when fission is achieved, when there is a chain reaction, a limited chain reaction, but still a chain reaction. And so the worst type of disaster, because an atomic bomb or a hydrogen bomb, unless it's a dirty bomb, jacketed in cobalt or other things, it dissipates almost all of its radiation instantly. There's some fallout, but it's still very limited. But a reactor melting down is the equivalent of a giant dirty bomb times 1 million. You can look it up. Just one event, Chernobyl, conservatively doubled the background radiation in the northern hemisphere of the planet Earth. Below that equator, they have half the radiation background from just one event because the jet streams and trade winds circle the Earth and don't ever really get down south. Just like a lot of the weather patterns from the south don't make it to the north. They got some radiation increase. Can you imagine what this is going to do? But see, and here's the heart of the matter, an illustration. Because it kills you slowly, it's out of sight, out of mind. And the globalists understand this. People don't get upset about poison being put in the well that kills you 20 years later. Now, there would be a panic if you drank the well water and died in 5 minutes. So if something soft kills you or slow kills you, it's like it never happened. just like cigarettes or any other issue. So everybody's fear-mongering, total change in culture, total fear, checkpoints all over the country, children being trained to spy on their parents, absolute, abject, complete hysteria. Boogeymen are under every table, got to give your rights up. But historically and statistically and common sense, people aren't fearing what can really ruin their life and take your property and conscript your children. And that's government. Government's killed. I always say 200 million. I've been corrected. Altogether, it's about 300 million that's confirmed in the 20th century. 300 million directly murdered by government. 300 million. That's a lot scarier than Al-Qaeda, even if you believe they actually carried out 9/11, isn't it? 300 million dead. Now, a million dead 20 plus years later from the effects of Chernobyl. But things were different. Back in the day of Chernobyl, the U.S. Army wouldn't use DU, wouldn't give its troops a delayed soft kill death sentence. Europeans were advised, and for 6 months, the importation of food was a must. No milk was allowed to be consumed. The animals were tested and slaughtered and not allowed to be used even as animal feed. It'd be put into dog food and things. And the milk, powder milk was brought in and vegetables were frozen and brought in for 6 months. And the soil was tested. And finally they said, okay, you know, there's a certain range around Chernobyl you can't eat. But all over Europe, from Italy to the Netherlands, people did not eat milk, drink milk that was produced there, did not eat vegetables that was produced there. Because they understood how serious it was, especially with children, because they have fast-growing cells, and there's a much, much greater effect on fast-growing cells with radiation than there is on cells that are not fast-growing. Now, and obviously a child is still has a lot more fast-growing cells than an adult. Now, we are being hit with levels of radiation comparable to what Southern Europe in the opposite direction of the plume got. You can go pull up the actuaries on this that universities have put out. We've written articles about it, linked to other articles on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. What has changed in the mindset of the globalist where they just don't care? They don't care anymore about themselves, about anybody else. It is a death cult. It is a cult of lunatics. All of their open-air genetically modified crops that are pharmacological, that are so deadly and spreading into other crops, splicing animals, insects into crops, and then splicing that crop into animals, and vice versa. Hundreds of cross-species splices in one organism. Hundreds of insects, fish, amphibian, reptile, all being injected into different animals, all being created. Now allowing cross-species jumping of zoological diseases. I mean, this is Armageddon-type stuff. Ticking time bomb, already increasing cancers, already increasing infertility. In all the studies, run-of-the-mill, single-trait GMOs within three generations are sterilizing all rats, all mice, all guinea pigs. Now they're coming out on the market with 7-stack, 10-stack, 20-stack, 20 different traits engineered into stuff you're eating. It's devastating. But with rats, you can see it in a few months in the cycles. With humans, it takes 20 years. You already see devastation 20 years into this. Imagine 20 years from now. It is going to be children of men. Almost complete infertility according to current growth rates. I just got chills. I just got chills. We are in the middle of, it's, you know, I don't believe like David Icke does that it's really fourth dimensional, you know, space aliens that are manipulating humans to do this evil. But I know, and I'm not bashing David, but he's welcome to his theories. But I understand why people want to believe that. I mean, how are our own humans fouling their own nest, destroying our own future, and doing this? What is wrong with the elites? Why are they doing this? Do they have super advanced technologies and they think they can reverse it? And the cherry on top, what really makes it rich, to the point of wanting to throw up, is that then we get lectured by them all day about how bad humans are and how they want to tax carbon dioxide that the Earth is very low in right now, according to every swamp sample, peat bog sample, and ice core sample. And they've got other ways. They've got rock samples. I mean, it's been 14 times higher and more in just the last few hundred thousand years. I mean, we are carbon dioxide starved. You double carbon dioxide and it would begin to green deserts, every study shows. Plants live longer, grow faster, are healthier. Something weird's going on this planet where they're going after the one thing we need while meanwhile just running around destroying everything. Now, why did I get on this nuke rant? And then I'll get into all the other news because big economic meltdowns. I want to get into 9/11. I want to open the phones up. Incredible Libby information. This is what we need to get into, okay? I mean, here's Ann Coulter. In case, because I say these things and then go, people aren't going to believe it if they're new listeners, even though it was said publicly months ago. So I had the guys pull it. Ann Coulter talks Japan earthquake, tsunami with Bill O'Reilly. Radiation is good for you. New York Daily News. She said the Japanese should be thankful to General Electric. I mean, it's now admitted quite a few are dying. And others, you know, have fast cells dying. Their gums are bleeding. Their intestines are bleeding. And she says they ought to be thankful. And again, we offered to pay her money to go and speak at Fukushima. By the way, they got robots in there. The highest radiation ever recorded, you can pull this up, is coming out of the MOX reactor. The highest ever recorded. The highest radiation level on Earth ever recorded is coming out of there. They're calling the Fukushima 50 that are all dying of radiation poisoning who went in. They won't even work on it now. It's so radioactive. And she's running around saying it's fine. And so is Mombiot. Meanwhile, so they ought to be real happy here. Why don't we send Ann Coulter here? Explosion at French nuclear site kills one. We're going to come back and tell you about that. At a nuclear weapons plant, they had MOX reactor fuel blow up. I'm going to tell you about this when we get back. Okay?
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayer.
According to Ann Coulter, who cares? Basically, your own personal Jesus is radiation. She says that it shows it's healthy for you, which again plays a mind game. Yes, they can focus specific types of radiation beams at a tumor and knock it out. And a lot of times it fries the tissues around it. They were able to knock out my great uncle's pancreatic cancer with it, but then it fried the tissues around it, and he ended up basically dying from complications from that later. But yes, a knife can be good to cut up carrots or to cut out a tumor. Doesn't mean you want it stabbed right in your heart. Now there's the headline, record high radiation at Japan nuke plant. Continuing with the latest radiological disaster, but it's almost like this is on purpose. That's what Dr. Busby, who's even been an advisor to the EU and the British government and the BBC, he said it's almost like they're doing this on purpose because fertility has dropped in the Northern Hemisphere by more than 80%, and radiation is one of the main contributors to that. And, you know, he talks to colleagues who are for nukes, and they say, oh, well, there's too many people. It's kind of like that Russian scientist we interviewed years ago who was, wow, we've been feeding the rats this GMO-based feed, and within three generations, they're all sterile. And they just said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There's too many people. This is the attitude of a very small guild. It's a control freak cult who realizes total power over the species is about fertility. The species is about fertility. The whole life cycle is about pushing the species forward, building a better world for the next generation, meeting a woman, meeting a man, getting married, having children. This is a war against creation by scientific technocrats that are playing God. And they're building armored seed vaults and animal vaults with the DNA, the eggs, the sperm, the seeds of every species on Earth. 14 UN-funded facilities worldwide with Rockefeller Foundation protection. most of them in high desert areas with armed guards, others at the Arctic Circle. Don't believe me, just type in UN seed vaults, UN animal vaults. Underground bases with this stuff, and that's just what we know about. While the very people setting this up are running around funding the projects to wreck everything. And see, once they've wrecked the entire genome of every major species, then you're going to have to go to them to reverse it. You're going to have to go to them to have a child. And they're like, oh, fertility's gone now. But don't worry, we'll just take a cell from your husband, a cell from your wife. We'll splice it, we'll engineer it, and we'll get out any bad traits as well, which will be traits of aggression, resistance, understanding. And then, because it's so specialized, you won't know there's been back doors built into the humanoid you call your son or daughter you're getting, that you're paying for. Just like they catch them in every major GMO and pharmacological crop, building other things into it. You're told, oh, this has this trait, drought resistant, but it's got another trait stacked. And it's so specific, there's only maybe less than a few dozen companies that can analyze it correctly. And then you try to find out, they say, well, it's proprietary. You're not allowed to see what we're doing. This is our company's product. We're infecting everything with it, but it's okay. I mean, we're living in a wild Twilight Zone movie, and the average male wants to sit in an easy chair and drink beer and think that that's manly. Like, I see guys when they do that, they like get off on it like it's really cool. Kind of like a kid putting on a cowboy hat and fake six shooters. I mean, you can see it's like dress up. It's like fantasy. You can see guys usually aren't even having fun doing this, but it's like they're having fun feeling like they're manly. Man, men sit in a chair. Yeah, that's what men do. No, men navigate boats around the world. Men climb mountains. Men develop new ideas and literature and discoveries. Men protect their families, their tribe, their community. Men are sharp. Men are aware. Men aren't going to be conned. Men aren't going to be suckered or gamed. Men are wily. Men are not what you see walking around out there. Shame on you, men. You make me want to throw up. And I'm not here as some high and mighty person. I've just got the basics of survival instinct. You got radiation raining down on you and your family, and the government raises the radiation levels of what they say is safe. And what do? You don't care about your sons, your daughters, nobody. You care about going to the sports bar tonight and acting tough and watching enough ESPN to be able to act like you know the most with your buddies. That's what you want to know. We'll be back.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
That's right, waging war on corruption. Let me get into some of the other news, then I'm going to give the number out. Take your calls until Tarpley joins us. We're working on getting this former congressman who was believed dead, U.S. congressman, who was in Libya. He was having to hide out because the rebels, the Al-Qaeda, NATO-backed rebels were sniping and killing even mainline journalists. And he said it was just incredible. I mean, mass murder of every black they could get their hands on, who were Libyan. Obviously, it's North Africa. Just absolute killing. And that Gaddafi's about 90% popular. And that most of the areas haven't been taken by the rebels. And by the way, that's in the news. Gaddafi forces have been pushing the rebels back in many areas. But you were told Libya's over, humanitarian disaster averted by killing 30,000 people and bombing everything with DU. Here's AP, Libyan fighters pushed stalled by Gaddafi troops. And they haven't even taken all of Tripoli. I mean, just, it is a civil war. But the average American's like, hey, I'm not worried about radiation. It's not in the news. I'm not worried about what happened in Libya. You know, I've actually heard neocons on radio talking about Gaddafi was with Al-Qaeda. Ladies and gentlemen, Gaddafi, you can say what you want about the guy. Gaddafi, in fact, later, will you guys, Reuters released it, but it's Gaddafi's footage, so we can show it. Him with his grandchildren, just type in footage of Gaddafi with grandchildren released, and you can see the footage. But there he is in a tent with plastic chairs and, you know, eating food out of a tin can in 2005. I mean, they always said it was an act that he liked to stay in tents. No, that's he came from a southern, you know, tribe of herders. That's what he was into. And the point is that he issued the first arrest warrant for Osama bin Laden through Interpol in 1996. And, of course, they just had him try to kill him. There it is. There's some footage. Now, continuing, my point is that I remember the news saying Libya was funding Al-Qaeda. That's not true. I remember hearing them say Iran is funding Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is out of Saudi Arabia. And the Al-Qaeda brand of Islam is the arch enemy of the Shiites. They hate each other 100 times, probably, what they, quote, hate the great Satan West. For any of those groups of Muslims that are on the extremist bandwagon. Most Muslims in the Middle East, because I've talked to a lot of them and read their writings, are sophisticated and actually understand all the manipulations and things that are going on and how groups are played off against each other. It's not one monolithic group. But our government, our media, when Tommy Franks and Cheney and Bush and all these groups say Iran is Al-Qaeda, Iran is attacked by Saudi Arabian-funded groups. Those countries have been on the verge of war many times and are constantly arresting them and hanging them. It's absolutely diametrically opposed groups that think the others are heretics, okay? Now, Gaddafi was a completely other brand, but they're treating you like you're complete and utter morons when they say that Gaddafi's Al-Qaeda and Iran is Al-Qaeda. That's why if you go back, I don't know, now 5 years ago, Bush put out a press release, whitehouse.gov, saying we are funding and authorizing these four groups to attack inside Iran. It was a big deal in the media. They're like, wow, they admit that the U.S. is funding terror groups to attack Iranians, and three of the four groups, one of them was Kurd group, but the others were all Wahhabist and actual real Al-Qaeda. And now they're using those very groups out of Iraq to turn over control of Libya to them, and that's who now is the main rebel leader of the entire operation, sitting in Tripoli, admits he is Al-Qaeda and works with the people and is made up of groups that have actually attacked U.S. soldiers in Iraq. But see, that's why Mohammad Karzai, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, it's a famous case. You pulled the video. It's in a press conference at the Rose Garden at the White House. And Bush says, well, Karzai's fighting Iran really hard. Iran is attacking with Al-Qaeda, and we're going to deal with them. And he said, respectfully, Mr. President, Your Excellency, as they say obnoxiously, some of the people at the UN call our president's excellency, like calling him Your Highness. He goes, respectfully, sir, I must explain, Iran is helping us with Al-Qaeda. They are aligned with a different group, sir. Because he knew in the Middle East, Central Asia, this was like saying Bill Clinton is Abraham Lincoln. Or it's like saying the Dallas Cowboys are the Seattle Seahawks. It's ridiculous. It'd be like if Karzai came here and said, I really love your Dallas Redskins. And the president would say, President Karzai, that's the Dallas Cowboys. Or it'd be like if Karzai came and said, I love your American movie with Lex Luthor in the red cape. No, that's Superman. I mean, it's that ridiculous. And he goes, respectfully, sir, that is the opposite group. They are helping us. And Bush is like, no, they are Al-Qaeda. And he goes, yes, sir. Knowing it was all over the Middle East and Central Asia broadcasting and was just ridiculous. It'd be like the president getting up and saying the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is real. I mean, it's just beyond idiocy. But see, Bush knew what he was doing. Tommy Franks knew. He got in trouble for it. Rumsfeld's done it. They all say, well, Al-Qaeda, we're fighting them in Iran. And then the media's always, but sir, that's their archenemy. They're fighting each other. Hezbollah and Hamas represented. Hezbollah out of Iran, Hamas founded and run by Israel as the, quote, counterbalance. And again, it's the Wahhabist. You got to understand, Israel, Saudi Arabia, the United States, all the people running our countries are all on the same team. And so that's why they use these Wahhabist double agents to carry out dirty work and sometimes even burn patsies like a McVeigh or a Lee Harvey Oswald. They just so happen to have a turban and a big beard. And sometimes they actually fund people who are real terrorists and think they're doing it for Islam. But see, I'm already digressing again. It is just so amazing on the Libya front. Libyan fighters pushed, stalled by Gaddafi troops. I thought 3 weeks ago it was all over. The television said so. I thought Gaddafi'd run to Venezuela 5 months ago. I mean, it must be true. And Ann Coulter says radiation's good for you. So, I mean, I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist because questioning anything a mainstream media figure says is sacrilege. It is blasphemy. It is heretical. So, I refuse to even see this AP article because this contradicts what I've been told. So what? But wait, AP is the boss. So what do I believe? Libyan fighters pushed, stalled by Gaddafi troops. Fierce resistance by loyalists entrenched in strongholds. And it's you know, they've been pushing for final control forever. Here's another one. Official. It's now official. Gaddafi's son Al Saeed the Shield has fled to Niger. Obviously, so he has better command and control over their rebel forces. That's a good move to divide their command structure. Again, I'm no fan of these people. I'm not a fan of government, period. I'm just telling you, to blame him and say he's Al-Qaeda when they had actually fought Al-Qaeda, and then our own stinking, murderous, criminal, banker-occupied government is putting them in, and now they admit heat-seeking missiles have gotten in their hands. By the way, I saw it in court documents months ago. People were like, where's your proof? Where's your proof? Well, we have an InfoWars article we wrote with links to mainstream news where it indeed Fast and Furious shipped guns into Chicago and into Indiana. You can go pull that up. I didn't. Yes, the government ships guns to drug gangs in America. Okay? The government isn't the government. It's hijacked. I mean, if somebody carjacked you in your garage, you open your garage up, you're getting in, a guy jumps in, puts a gun to your head. Do you go into the... what's that psychological phenomenon where you love your oppressors? And more and more people go into this because we've been trained to be so cowardly. People actually play a mind game with themselves. Stockholm syndrome. And they go into Stockholm syndrome. So if a guy gets in and says, I'm carjacking you, do you decide they're like your boss? And go, well, let me chauffeur you from now on. And then if anybody tried to get the carjacker out of the car, you might fight them. You're like, no, this is... You know, this is the government. I mean, if some crazy man climbed the fence at the White House and could jump on TV during a live telecast and say, I'm the president. Well, you sat in the president's chair. You're the president now. We've got to do everything you say. I've got to do some searching. I saw it Friday night and then never searched it because I've been so busy. But on MSNBC, they now... I guess because I don't really watch a lot of TV, they re-air 60 Minutes. And I think it was about 9 at night. And I turn on, I want to get some propaganda. I want to see what they're up to. So I go to MSNBC and they're airing 60 Minutes. And it was so amazing. But I was over at my parents' house. And so I didn't record it. Couldn't figure out how to record it by the time I saw it. And it was what I've seen in all the manuals that we've put in films and talked about. And some of the training videos, but it was worse. It showed the Pentagon funding seminars in every police department in the country, including corporations now and InfraGuard, with these army colonels, some retired, some not, who look completely insane, but very charismatic, with cops who look like they'd been put in microwave ovens. I mean, you know, you could tell they'd done 10, 15 cycles of roids where it was just all kind of like blubber now. And it showed all these crazy-looking roid-head cops who looked like they were out of their minds, and women cops and people. And it showed them, and they were saying, yes, Al-Qaeda will attack every single police station and school. They will attack me. I will be attacked. Al-Qaeda will attack you. And it cuts the Pentagon-funded group saying, everyone will be attacked. You will be attacked. And of course, it's domestic groups, see. They're moving away from Al-Qaeda now. They're saying people are going to attack you everywhere. And I guess as the government tries to take everybody's property and checkpoints and people get mad because their pension funds are being taken, there probably are going to be some people that get angry. So they're getting ready for 1776. and they're the redcoats. And they're actually up there, though, teaching them to be totally fearful and freaked out. And it showed these cops completely glassy-eyed, roided out of their minds, who could barely talk, going, I think he's great. They're trying to keep me safe from the terrorist. I mean, it was like, whoa. I mean, this is a self-fulfilling delusional prophecy where the cops, I mean, I was watching more news this weekend than I normally do because of the 10th anniversary celebration of fear and the death of liberty in America. That's what it's turned into, is like a, you know, the day they killed America. But America's a spirit, so we can always breathe life back into it. But America's dead. It's over. Goose is cooked long time ago. You got to be honest about that to get it back. And I'm watching, and it was like checkpoints in Dallas, checkpoints in Los Angeles, checkpoints in Boston, Detroit, Michigan, New York, Washington, D.C. And it just showed random troops out searching people's cars, army, cops in battle gear with guns strapped to their legs, M16s, and looking all scared. And imagine, women and children are walking around, and there's cops with machine guns. Terrorists are everywhere. Buddy! Let's say there was going to be a real car bombing or something this week. Statistically, you've got a better chance of being struck by lightning dying from a honeybee. When a honeybee flies by you, do you just run and cower in fear? Maybe you do. Thousands of people get bit by water moccasins every year. Hundreds and hundreds die. Number one cause of death from snakes is water moccasin. Much worse than rattlesnake. Rattlesnakes want to stay away from you. Water moccasins are mean. I had friends, people I knew, one guy in high school, went to college, jumped into the lake. The water moccasins were in a ball, a mating ball, killed him. Bit him hundreds of times. Died of cardiac arrest. I mean, do we not go to the lake and swim because there's one chance out of a million a snake's going to bite us? Stop it. Stop. I mean, it is just a culture of abject fear, and it's so obvious. Even if you think 9/11 isn't an inside job, there's no doubt it's being used to take our freedoms and that they're beta testing it away from Muslim extremists, quote, over to the general public in the Fetters anti-New World Order people. Why? Because you can say what you want about Muslims. They're not going along with sterilization and GMO and the end of the family. They've got to be knocked out. So the globalists are going to hire people and fund groups and allow extremists to attack so they can go in and kill millions of these people, blow up their infrastructure to reduce their population, send in occupying armies, and then roll in the vaccines after that. Forced inoculations now beginning. Domestically, who do they want? People who are still Americans that love liberty, freedom, can skin a buck, run a trot line, know the Federal Reserve's private, all the police manuals. It's not about Al-Qaeda, folks. It's about you, the very good old boys that cheered the police state thinking it'd keep you safe. Now, speaking of that, here it is. Credible terror threat turns into fear-mongering farce. The police stormed the aircraft that was landed, and it goes through all of this, ABC News reports, and told them, anyone gets out of your seat, you're dead. They then took everybody off the plane and talked and interrogated and were told, well, this couple was giggling and laughing and went in the bathroom together and then came right back out. No discernment. You see a couple giggling, laughing, going into the bathroom. But they're running all these TV ads now where it shows a yuppie on a train leaving his bag. And now I've seen it. I've been at the airport and just put my bag here. I've got some barbecue I'm eating. I want some napkins and salt. It's 15 feet away to the little kiosk. I walk and people are like, sir, your bag. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm supposed to lug two big bags over. People are kissing. Land the plane. Cops, I'm going to kill you. And they show these TV ads now where it shows a guy at a mall, leaves his bag, and so a woman starts chasing him going, stop, he left his bag, Homeland Security. And then it cuts to TSA walking to the mall. We're here to help, ma'am. I mean, we've posted these videos. And there's now more than 10 of them. In all the videos but one, everyone is white who's a terrorist. Everyone's a minority that reports them. Even the Southern Poverty Law Center said, yes, it's whites that are the terrorists. And it's minorities that report them. They're rebranding. But then I'm racist for even recognizing. I always point out stereotypes. I mean, this is the political correctness. There was a Daily Mail article where they won't deliver now copies of the Bible or the Gospel of Matthew the British Postal Service saying it's a hate crime. They're already arresting preachers in Canada that read from the Bible, passages that are not liked. But now they're just saying Bibles aren't allowed, period. These politically correct people are not liberals. They manipulate well-meaning people. Oh, don't say something hurtful. Oh, I'm going to have you arrested. Well, free speech is nice, but don't want to hurt people's feelings. But reading these articles here, there were bomb scares because of cardboard boxes on the side of the highway. Mattresses now cause abject fear. And all of this is about not fearing what you should be concerned about, big out-of-control government. It's all about being... But the scariest thing was the cops. I saw cops around the country on checkpoints. They were scared. They were shaking as they checked each car. They really believe that there are Al-Qaeda under every table. I mean, land of the cowards, home of the slaves. Whatever happened to us? How did we become so cowardly?
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, I'm ranting, I'm out of control, and I want to take your phone calls. It's just when you watch people under mind control, that's why the Founding Fathers talked about this, so many other historians, philosophers. You have got to get control of fear in your life. And after you get control of it finally and learn to just turn it loose, it is so empowering. You don't really start living until you get rid of your fear. It doesn't mean you're dumb. Doesn't mean you go jump off a cliff or drive recklessly. It's just you get control of yourself and you think in a cold fashion. And the statistics don't lie. The statistics don't lie. Close to 400,000 people die a year in automobile accidents. Some years it's 300 and something. Some years almost 400. We all still get in our cars. We all still get on airplanes. So how have we gotten to a point where they hype all of this terror? They hype all of this fear to a crescendo. And then I have stacks of the reports. I know you saw it in your local area. Mattress blows out of the back of a truck, highway shut down. And the procedure for the police, because they want their department to keep getting funded, is put on a show. There's actually been leaked memos over a decade ago about this. And they'll send a robot up and blow up the mattress, blow up the cardboard box. And then it's on the news and people are like, the suspicious package was blown up. They never say wasn't a bomb, was a bomb. It's all meant to create the perception in the childlike minds of the public that there are bombs. Then they have drills unannounced in Chicago, in Seattle. Some of these drills where they blow up buses. They burn areas of downtown. They'll lease 10, 15 houses and catch them or buy them and catch them on fire and then have the fire department there. And they're smoking bombs. Everybody's like, terrorists are hitting. And an hour later, I'm the mayor. It's just a drill. But again, all of America is a giant re-education camp. That's what this is. This is Soviet re-education. They have drills coast to coast where they go in, generally elementary students, unannounced, and actually point guns at them and scream at them and say, we are anti-New World Order people. We hate you. We're pro-Second Amendment. We're pro-homeschool. This is in the manuals. Look it up. I've shown you the articles. And the children cry and freak out. And the parents are in such a trance to authority figures that when they get mad and come to the school, they say, it's all right. We had to do it because of the militia. It's a federal drill. It's all right, Mrs. Johnson. It's all right. In fact, I remember reading the articles in the aftermath about it in a Michigan case many times on air. How they handle the parents. We have to do it for their safety. It's because of the gun owners. And they tell them it was a drill because the homeschoolers might attack the school. By the way, if you're a new listener, I'm not joking. Just like I said, Ann Coulter said radiation is good for Japanese, and I went and read the article to you. I mean, I've probably played this 20 times over the years. By played it, gone and found the AP articles where in the federal grants, they say we have to come here and say we are homeschoolers against public education was one of the federal documents. And all over the country, little kids are sitting there and they're in their class and in run cops under federal grants to scream at them and yell at them and scare them and then tell them we're homeschoolers. And it actually works. They tell them we're a pro-Second Amendment group. Guns are bad. And for the rest of their life, the kid's just traumatized. And I hate those Second Amendment groups. I had to be traumatized as a child for my safety. And again, it's so bold and so naked and people feel so powerless, they decide to accept the cops doing it and go, okay, abuse my family. You see, it's a giant re-education camp. America is a giant brainwashing camp with cops all scared to death.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Former U.S. congressman who was in Libya said he saw NATO troops beheading people. Of course he did. We got Webster Tarpley joining us in 30 minutes to talk about that. Then in the entire third hour, open phones. I'm opening the phones up right now. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. And I'd specifically like to hear from you on the martial law drills that we saw this last week. First, the system starts out, this is very important, in test cities all over the country in the last 5 years with a, quote, no-refusal weekend. Like, oh, you're not allowed to refuse this weekend. There's no Fourth Amendment. We're going to take your blood at checkpoints. It's like, oh, we don't have a Bill of Rights on this special day. And then sure enough, I told you this would happen because it follows their pattern. It's all psychological warfare. They've now announced all over the country, well, there's just no refusal 365 days a year. There's no Fourth Amendment. We're taking your blood. That's how they work. So it's, yeah, on September 11th and other dates, we set up checkpoints all over the country and have the army out. But you know what? We're not going to let Al-Qaeda hit us. And then it's all the time. And then it's not Al-Qaeda anymore. It's Ron Paul supporters. It's in the fetters. See, that's how this works. And if you're a new listener and heard me talking about drills at public schools, mainly elementary, all over the country, you're gravely mistaken. I have shown you newscasts where the children are crying and the police are aiming guns at them. They have unannounced where guys come in camo with guns and say they're going to kill people. Teachers have had heart attacks and collapse before. One lady I interviewed, I got her lawyer on with me a few years ago, where it happened in Minneapolis. And they were out in the portable buildings. It was, sixth grade? And men came in and said, we're with the militia, we're going to kill you. And they took them all out in the woods, and they all believed they were going to die. And it was on the news. The children were defecating, urinating, all over themselves. The teacher collapsed and had mental problems ever since. They had another case where a teacher had a heart attack. They've had a bunch of cases where children are shot. Just type in child shot during police drill. More often, though, cop killed in safety drill at school. That's happened a bunch of places. I mean, this is beyond bizarre. And they also have these drills. And this was on 60 Minutes Friday night on MSNBC, where that was the other part of the show. They're like, every place, every McDonald's, every school, every mall must have armed guards and lockdown doors. Now you understand. The cops are like, yes, sir, we do. The terrorists will hit you. It was really weird because I guess they know a redneck can like send the mind control out or something. But it's like, do you understand? And they cuss the cops. Man, I'm telling you, terrorists are everywhere. We got to have security everywhere. And thank God he's here to keep us safe. And they cut back to him. And they had this weird colonel. His eyes were like going around in circles. He looked nuts. And he's going, I'm telling you right now, it's a serious situation. I'm going to teach people how to survive. And terrorists are going to hit us. And the army colonel really works well with the military. It shows like, at this event, 500 top officers come in to hear the colonel speak. Terrorism will affect everything. It will hit every target. Everyone will be hit in America. It's about to start. They cut to the military officers. What do you think? And the military officers, this group didn't have the, you know, the good old boy thing going, but they were like, well, I understand it's a bit over the top, but it's what we need to keep us safe. I mean, it's just like, cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. I mean, it is cuckoo for absolute 100 trillion Cocoa Puffs. I mean, they had this army colonel in there who looked like central casting. He looked like a bird dog. I mean, his eyes just pointed straight forward. He's like, terrorists are going to hit you right now. Every one of you going to be attacked. Are you ready to come? Yes, sir, we're ready. Keep us safe, sir. I mean, it was the most pathetic. What's wrong with you people? And these cops, like, were getting off on it. It's just so scary, the terrorists. You idiots.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, a good way to describe my radio show, my nightly television transmission, everything we do here at InfoWars and InfoWars.com is being off the grid, off the reservation. I don't mean off the grid power-wise or water-wise. I mean off the grid, not in this controlled paradigm, not in this false, phony, baloney system. All right, we've got Tarpley joining us in about 30 minutes on the incredible developments in the world stock markets and the economy. On the big developments in Libya, here's the headline at prisonplanet.com. Former congressman, I saw NATO troops behead Libyans. Gaddafi forces are actually pushing back some of the operations, the al-Qaeda forces. And again, if you don't support al-Qaeda over there, you're unpatriotic, according to Obama. Also, there's been a big reactor. In fact, I'm going to go to your calls, but I probably need to hit on this just briefly. I mentioned it last hour. But it's such a big deal. A reactor that fires pellets of plutonium into uranium exploded. And it's a MOX fuel system where they take nuclear weapons and process it into fuel. Explosion hits French MOX nuke site. Threat of radioactive leak at plutonium processing plant. An explosion at a French nuclear facility that processes dangerous MOX plutonium has killed one person, injured four others, provoking fear that radioactivity could be escaping into the atmosphere. Well, we know they lied at Fukushima, didn't they? They always lie. In fact, if there was no radiation coming out, they'd probably say there was. I mean, they just lie. It's what they do. Although officials have played down such concerns. Yeah, that's the big telltale. They're like, well, we don't think so right now, but we're not releasing radiation numbers. Bing, 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 bing. There you go. It's leaking. However, the French government complicity in hiding the severity of the 86 Chernobyl disaster will do nothing to assure concerns and assuage concerns about authorities being honest with the public about the scale of the problem. There were no radioactive leaks after the blast caused by fire near the furnace in the Sintraco radioactive waste storage site, reports BBC. It produces MOX fuel, which recycles plutonium with nuclear weapons, but does not include reactors and reactions. French nuclear watchdog ASN has not explained the cause of the blast, but concerned that the furnace that the explosion is used to melt waste with levels of radioactivity ranging from low to very high. As we highlighted during the Fukushima crisis, plutonium is the most deadly radioactive isotope known to man. And MOX is 2 million times more deadly than normally enriched uranium. The half-life of plutonium-239 in MOX is 24,000 years, and just a few milligrams of P-239 escaping into a plume of smoke will contaminate soil for tens of thousands of years. And they just go on to tell you everything's great. I'm trying to find that line. Here it is. Part of the process involves firing superheated pellets of plutonium and uranium into an oven to reduce them in size to make them easier to store. Okay, let's go to your calls. Hey, but Ann Coulter says it's good for you. So does George Monbiot. So, hey, you know, their establishment, they said so. The government says cameras everywhere and police in black uniforms is a sign of freedom. And now checkpoints all over the country. And I shouldn't be concerned, even though I've been to urban warfare drills all over the country where the military trains to come to your house and take your gun and admits they're getting ready to do it. But everything's fine. Government cares about you. Come on, don't be extreme, folks. We just told you they'd implode the derivatives market and set up a world government. When Tarpley comes up, I was listening to Bloomberg Radio this morning driving in, and they actually had three different guests from the time I was able to listen because I was getting some phone calls say the same thing. We need a United States of America, isn't that going to be cute, to fix all the world's economic problems. I thought the last three bailouts in Europe were going to do that. And it was like, the government's bad, the people are bad, we all spent too much, and the banks are going to fix it, you're going to pay your taxes to them. How's that a United States of Europe where it's a total dictatorship of private banks, a, quote, financial union, and the banks that engineered this are the boss lecturing everyone? Because people don't know how this works. Even, you know, most people really think they're intellectual to even listen to something like Bloomberg. Business people, like, think they're smart because they listen to Bloomberg or they read the Wall Street Journal. That's just propaganda for you. Oh, a lot of the truth's there, but it's got the spin on top. And so people listen to that and then they go regurgitate it at boardroom meetings to sound smart. I can't tell you how many fake intellectuals I know and business people that will start trying to show off. And when somebody's talking about politics or numbers or the economy, I'll listen, just think, oh, wow, is this person actually informed? I want to talk to them. I want to get their view. And then I'll start listening, and I'm like, oh, they're just repeating something they saw on CNBC. And then I'll ask them another question, and then they prove they know nothing. And it's kind of real sad. Then they'll kind of get embarrassed. Oh, well, look, you're not going to learn anything except that they're throwing it in your face sometimes. They'll admit, yeah, banks launder the money. What you going to do about it? Yeah, foreign banks took over, yeah. I mean, some of that's going on. You're going to learn some things. But where you really learn things is reading history and a wide spectrum of it, because you're not getting total truth in any history book. It's impossible. We're looking at the past. It's going to be distorted. But you study human nature enough. You study history enough. And then you study the globalist and their philosophy and what they're into today, and you know basically everything. Just like in criminology, good cops, they don't really try to teach that anymore, but old-fashioned crime fighting is all about psychological types and people's modus operandi. And then once you understand different types of people, once you're able to study the crimes they've committed, you start to get inside their mind. And that's all I've done, and it's not that hard to do. And I know exactly what they're doing. I know their general game plan, and it is not fun. And these people are the worst of the worst. See, the very worst in society get into power, the very top, because they're willing to kill, steal, shield, do whatever to get it. They desire it because they want to exercise the power. Good people become successful but then become fat, dumb, and happy and don't want more power. You just want enough power to be comfortable, to be respected, and to raise a good family. Good people have to serve and have to get into positions of power. We have to become wealthy. We have to become powerful. That's the only way we're going to defeat the globalist, okay? All right, let's go to your calls. Thank you for holding. Let's talk to Janice in Texas. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I have two important news items I wanted to tell you about. On Wednesday, on CNN, last Wednesday, Rear Admiral Ann Schuchat, the head of contagious respiratory ailments of the CDC, was on there with this other guy.
Yeah, notice how they have admirals and generals over all the federal departments now. I mean, what is this, Venezuela? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, they are rolling out this new technology. There they are, like in front of the world, rolling out this thing that looks like a printer with very little information, like even a fingerprint. They can sequence your entire human genome. And they were saying how wonderful it was because they can look at the genome and find out if you have the illness. Well, you know, the human genome says everything. So I see this as like the end of humanity.
No, it is. It is the end. It is the end. But the cops aren't scared of that. They're scared of non-existent real terror, and the fake stuff's very rare. And, I mean, that's why they, I mean, not all cops are dumb. A lot of them are smart. But that's why they try to hire 100 IQ and below. And now it's coming out, they're trying to figure out if they can hire even 80 IQ people who can barely operate, because they need people that are dumb, because only dumb people would destroy themselves like this. And it's on. And absolutely, they're rolling out all these technologies. I mean, I remember 4 years ago at an anti-war demonstration, people reported that there were fake dragonflies flying around. And I went and looked it up when people reported it, and the Washington Post made fun of them, and found a bunch of prototype companies that Homeland Security had indeed bought them, some of these. And I called the people out, and I sent them an email. I said, is this what you saw? And they said, yeah. And I went on air and said, you know, here it is. And the media made fun of me. Jones says there's fake insects flying around. And then a couple years later, they came out and said, yeah, we're watching people all over with fake insects. Mm-hmm. In fact, they've got real insects now with chips on them that they can send into your house with a camera. They've had robo-rats for 20 years with a brain chip. So, yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore. That's why they're so arrogant. And they're just getting their police state grid in place, and then they're going to start wiping everybody out, including the cops. And most of the cops are going to go to their graves with the ship serving the system. They're dog-like. They will follow their masters straight to hell. What do you think of that?
Well, there's one more thing I wanted to add. A while back, I saw Dennis Miller on the O'Reilly Show, and O'Reilly and Dennis Miller were both bashing Nancy Grace. They played a clip, and she was concerned about the Fukushima fallout going on to the United States, and she had maps and whatever, yeah. And they just proceeded to just thrash her, make fun of her, discredit her, say she was a hack. I mean, so there's, you know, you can, like, probably look that up, but they made fun of her.
Janice, great call. I did see that on YouTube, that compilation of those. There was an article I meant to get to yesterday, and I didn't. I'm going to remind me, Crib, I don't cover it in the third hour to do it. It was a headline like, Ron Paul is a nut, in the Washington Post. It was similar to that. And the article said he's completely insane. There was a backlash against the media ignoring him, but now it's been proven they were right. This man made an insane statement about a dime's worth of silver could buy you a gallon of gas. Well, almost more than a gallon, Ron Paul. And they said that he is insane. Now that's like saying this guy says finding an oasis in the desert and drinking water is good. This guy's nuts. He says you can drink water out of Lake Superior. Ron Paul said that an ice cold Coca-Cola is delicious on a hot sunny afternoon. This guy's insane. Of course, it's totally public that a pure silver dime pre-60s, is worth... what is it, $3 or $4 now? I mean, that's a fact. And that Ron Paul said was totally true about inflation. But see, their answer is to think their readers are dumb and go, look, the dumb man said they've devalued the money. Ha ha, isn't it funny? Ha ha.
What happened, man?
We don't need no education.
All right, let's go back to your phone calls. Let's talk to Michael in Texas. You're on the air, sir. Welcome.
Alex, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to address a little bit of this toward this false baloney system. And if the American citizens understood the differences between legal and lawful, and the reasons why lawful law abides by and upholds the Constitution, and legal law is the system designed by the British and established with the Act of 1871. And
by the way, what you're saying is absolutely true. It's admiralty administrative law that is just regulations issued basically by the crown. It's the bureaucracy. And that's how the British, once the British had the Parliament Act and other events and started reducing the power of the monarchy, they figured out how to create parallel systems that sounded similar just to fool people to give up their rights. So you have a parallel system of lawful, which goes back to the ancient common law and then the Bill of Rights, Constitution, versus administrative law or the law of merchants that is completely arbitrary. That's why they say it's our policy to stick our hands down your pants. It's our policy to take blood from you without a warrant. It's our policy. It's policy. It's their policy. And policy is we got a bunch of dumb mercenaries that'll do whatever we're told, and we got kangaroo courts that'll go along with it. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and their system was brought in to skirt the Constitution and go around it. And they made all attorneys and lawyers believe that they must qualify to do business in their system's courts by passing the bar exam, which really is the bar stands for British Accredited Registry, which means they're qualified to, and they're workers of the British Empire. If you ask most lawyers these days what the bar stands for, they wouldn't have any idea, other than they'd probably say barrister. And another thing I'd like to mention is how they bring in a lot of their unlawful laws is through the tacit law. In legal terms, it means even if a law is unlawful, if you do not object and remain silent and never protest in any way, then by silent acquiescence, you're saying you agree with it.
Well, is that force de jure or force majeure, the most powerful force? It's possessions nine-tenths of the law. They are just rolling over you. But isn't that a central tenet of law, that rights must be demanded and stood upon? People just think you go in and then they're there. No, you have to absolutely demand them. The globalists only listen to people that actually speak to them straight up and understand them. They don't even begin to respect you. And so much of the public, yuppies, go-along, get-alongers, media whores, a lot of them know the truth, but they think by sucking up, you know, they're part of the system. No. This system destroys its own. The only way we're going to survive, and the only way somebody from nowhere can ever have any power in this world, is to recognize your rightful duties and responsibilities as a free sentient being. If you act like a slave, you will be a slave.
You there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got one more thing. There's a fellow Texan named Charles Irwin who's written a wonderful book that covers all these issues. It's called American Freedom. And I think he'd be a wonderful guest for you to have on the program and discuss these issues. It's just a magnificent book.
Yeah, there's another gentleman we've had on from the Dallas area who was demonized in that 60 Minutes piece that I intended to get back on. He was a great Skype interview. Alfred Adask. I want to get him back on, Jaron, pronto. We'll get him on the TV show, too. Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. By the way, we'll be live tonight with a lot of key subjects, a lot of key news items on the radio, of course, back tomorrow at 11 a.m. We've still got half the show ahead of us. I just want to point out that we'll be on the TV tonight, 7 o'clock Central at InfoWarsNews.com. If you're not a subscriber, become one today. Tim in Michigan, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Alex.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
On the radio, brother. What's up?
Hey. Yeah, I never had anybody ever refer to me as said, "Shut up, Tim. You're our friend. Talk." My girlfriend was laughing when I told her what you said. Anyway, this is. I have a friend that called me yesterday who went to New York. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he was down there. Let's say I had a man on the inside, okay? And let me tell you what his observation was. First of all, I asked him, I said, how are the police? Were they mean? Were they trying, you know, to harass you? And he was taking pictures. But he stayed back far enough so that they wouldn't bother him.
Okay, what happened?
Okay, well, he was able to take a few pictures of, there's a banner that was hung across one of the, did you not send that yet? I'm going to send you a few pictures right from.
Great. What did the banner say?
I'm going to email them to you. But anyway, the banner said that the Bush regime was responsible for 9/11.
Hold on, I want to hear about this. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, Tim in Michigan is going to finish up real quick. Always a great source of info. He's the guy that came up with the idea for the Google bomb. Very, very effective. Our listeners have so many great ideas. I need to put more of them into action. And we got Swiss guy from Switzerland, Austin in Arizona, Freddie in New Jersey, Steve in New York, and others. We're going to get to all of you. Tarpley is in New York. He was there for the big police state extravaganza. They turned it into a sick holiday celebrating the death of the Republic and celebrating ninnying fear of almost non-existent terrorism. totally disgusting. We're going to be talking to Tarpley about the huge developments in Libya and the big stock market meltdowns happening in Europe. The foregone conclusion of the debt black hole, that it's a statistical certainty that the economy will implode. It's been designed to do that by the finance oligarchs who are the opposite of free market. We're going to Tarpley in a moment, but finishing up, Tim, I heard that there were a lot of activists there in New York. You say you were talking to one of your friends. You said you're going to be sending that email soon to our office. So send it right now, and we'll show it as soon as we get it. But you're saying somebody did a banner hang where saying that Bush was responsible for 9/11?
Well, it looks like, let me tell you what it looks like to me. Hang on a minute.
No, I understand you had your friend gave you this photo. Just what is it?
Right, right. It says it looks like some kind of an old church, or maybe it's got a steeple. So I'm going to say it's a really, really old church.
Yeah, okay. I understand it's a church, but in New York and close to Ground Zero, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, what did it say?
What did it say? The Bush regime engineered 9/11. And the only thing is there's some girl that's standing right in front of 9/11, but you could see the 1 and you could just barely see the beginning of the 9. But it's obvious.
Yeah. What did your friend say the response was by people?
Oh, check it out. He said there were thousands of people that stayed outside the perimeter that were wearing their 9/11 was an inside job shirt, and while they were trying to, give their little press snow job,
their vampiric sucking operation off of the dead firefighters and police. The survivors, of course, are barred, but because they know the truth. But go ahead.
Well, they were yelling so loud, Alex, that 9/11 was an inside job that you couldn't even hear. You know, when they get some fire chief up here, probably wasn't even at 9/11.
All right, well, that's interesting. We're going to get Luke Radowski on to give us his take on what he saw and did there. We appreciate your call, Tim. Your phone is overdriving. Every time you call in, though, it's just like peeking out. You might turn the volume down on that, bud. Thank you. We're interested to look into that. Now, joining us is someone who was there at Ground Zero for 9/11, somebody who was there at multiple speaking events and is joining us via cell phone from the park there in New York City, Webster Griffin Tarpley, doctor of history. He's also an economist. He's been to Libya just in the last few months and predicted, well, it was already going on in the East, the massacre of blacks. That's now been confirmed. A former congressman who was thought dead but was in hiding in Libya because of the al-Qaeda forces trying to kill him says he saw NATO troops beheading Libyans and killing blacks systematically. Even Reuters has confirmed that's happening. 30,000 slaughtered so far, a humanitarian war crime. We'll talk about that with Tarpley as well. Webster Griffin Tarpley, thank you for joining us. First off, tell us what you witnessed this year, 10 years after the false flag event.
Well, Alex, I have to make it clear. I didn't really go to. You couldn't get near these commemorations. You had to be a family member or something. So essentially, what I attended was the one big event in the city, which was a rally and lectures against the official story. In other words, the New York that can say no. I was glad to be there. This was at Independent Network News. It's an operation on radio and sometimes on television. It's run by Lenny Charles and Tom Kiley. And this is here on Walker Street. So it's basically Walker Street near 6th Avenue. It's Tribeca, more or less. It's actually quite close to Ground Zero. But we had 300 New Yorkers saying no to the official baloney and not just unanswered questions, but essentially MIHA made it happen on purpose. The Rogue Network did it. It's a privately controlled rogue network of treasonous putschists, coup artists, in the U.S. government, and they did it, and they did it through the 46 drills. And this was the debut of my fifth edition of 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in USA, and I urge people to get it, because I've got now, I'm gone from 25 drills a couple of years ago to 46 drills. 46 drills in the 2 years before, on the day of, and a couple of their basically in advanced preparation. So that's how it was done.
Now, Webster.
We had Wayne Madsen. We had, we had Ray McGovern. We had Gary Null. A bunch of other speakers. Very good atmosphere. The 9/11 movement, of course, is not what it was. Obama has sucked the atmosphere, the oxygen out of the room. And, of course, a lot of the websites have been taken over by people who really act more like provocateurs than truth seekers. But
yeah.
Still, there's still a hardcore of good, strong support. A lot of them are your fans, Alex. A lot of them ask about you, and they say they've heard me on your program. So
yeah, Webster, I rarely disagree with you on points of fact. I mean, I may disagree on political or socioeconomic solutions or policy, but I've got to disagree with you. What's happened with 9/11 truth is it doesn't have the liberal core to it that was involved in it because they were just anti-Bush and anti-war. That group has been foundation co-opted and is broken up. The general understanding that 9/11 is an inside job, the general awakening to false flag terror as a tool of statecraft throughout history, the acceptance of the fact that government stage events in culture and society across the board has never been more powerful.
Yes, as an opinion, I think you're probably right. But in what counts in this world, which is organized political power, the ability to turn out thousands of people and get them to do something reasonable, I'm afraid for the moment this is not where it was in 2006. Let's take your conference in Los Angeles in 2006. That was a great watershed. When that conference that you organized with the 1,200 people in Los Angeles, when that got on C-SPAN, that broke the control of the reactionary Republicans over the House and the Senate. And it essentially headed off the Iran war and the Syria war that the rogue network would have bootlegged in through Cheney in particular. Cheney has got a new autobiography out, like In My Time, where he confesses that he was pushing for war with Syria in June of 2007. He tried to get Bush to approve it. He couldn't get support in the cabinet. He's very bitter that Condi Rice wouldn't go with him at that point. But, of course, then, after Cheney had failed to convince Bush, the rogue network went to work above and behind both of them. And then we had that rogue B-52 of August, September 2007. That was the extra-legal attempt by the rogue network. They basically hijacked the B-52 and took it from North Dakota to Louisiana. It was on its way to the Middle East. And this is all documented now, and it's coming out more and more. That's the great thing about 9/11 truth was to have headed off those things. Now, obviously, there's a lot to be done, but right now we're on the verge of a European banking panic. Oh my God, a jackhammer has opened up here behind me. This is New York. I don't know if that's
No, it's okay. It's okay. I want to get into what's happening in Europe because they're announcing on Bloomberg and everywhere else, the bankers are going to save you. And they openly said on Bloomberg this morning, it's a new talking point, it's the public's fault and it's the government's fault. And the bankers that created the derivatives and got our government traders to sign on to their debt, they're going to fix it with VAT and carbon taxes paid to them with this new United States of Europe. Which isn't a United States with liberty and freedom. It's a banking dictatorship, a finance oligarch tyranny, a corporate right. receivership system, as you know, that you predicted in Obama deception and fall of the Republic. So what do you say to this new talking point?
This is Europe of the banks and cartels. Here's the point. You've got now about a dozen banks in Europe that are candidates to be the next Lehman Brothers, and we could just go down the list, but it's essentially the top two or three money center banks in each country. These are zombie banks. They don't have any social function. They don't provide capital for productive investment. They just suck in public resources. I have not been able to keep up with the banking panic here over the weekend because of the density of 9/11 stuff. But what I heard this morning is the bankers are going to try to get China to backstop their derivatives bubble. If the Chinese do that, that will be national suicide for China, and that will essentially seal their doom, and I would urge China not to do that. Don't get sucked in to propping up the debt of these bankrupt finance finance oligarchs and derivatives mongers.
Now, Webster, going back to false flag terror for a moment, then I want to get back into the economy, and then
by
I want to get...
US. By the U.S. and the British.
Well, by the corporate oligarchy. Getting back to false flag terror, I'm seeing major acclimation, major ground preparation psychologically, major rollout preparatory phase for big false flags. They are really hyping it and having army checkpoints with regular police all over the country as a way to condition the public. And then, of course, they can stage terror, blame it on anti-Federal Reserve groups. What is your view on the incredible drum beating that I'm seeing?
Well, I posted on Friday night, I think. I put up on my website, topley.net, an alert, right? That basically I would say it's time for something like an orange alert. This is because the European banking panic, the U.S. banking panic, it would be very convenient, for example, to declare martial law and under the cover of martial law, essentially use executive orders to order another bailout. It would be very hard to get a bailout through Congress for the zombie banks. But if the zombie banks blow, they're going to want a second bailout. And I think the only way to do that is under the cover of martial law. There will be demonstrations now. People will be out there fighting against genocidal austerity imposed by reactionary politicians and Wall Street.
Well, that's another question. They've now announced what we were told 3 years ago was going to happen. They're getting ready to take at least half the pension funds on top of dollar devaluation that also steals the value of the 20-year and more vets who were under law guaranteed their pension. They're talking openly saying how great it is to take half their pension fund. And Webster, they may not have to stage anything when they do that. There's a bunch of old vets that are going to get very, very angry.
Yes, the other thing, of course, is the international picture. Right now, the Anglo-Americans are very upset because their destabilization of Syria is not working, has not worked. The Syrian army, I guess by and large, has crushed the death squads and terrorist commandos of the Muslim Brotherhood and whatever else NATO and the CIA were able to funnel into Syria. And it looks to me like the situation in Syria will now quiet down gradually, although the constant attempts by Anglo-American media to create the fiction, the illusion of some kind of a...
But what's the end game? Why put Muslim Brotherhood Al-Qaeda in Egypt and then allow them to torch the Israeli embassy? We know the West is orchestrating that. Why let Al-Qaeda attack Syria? Why give Libya to Al-Qaeda and admittedly now missile systems? What comes after that? Why is Al-Qaeda so loving?
The policy is to destroy the modern state. These are neo-feudalist Anglo-American financiers. They want to smash the modern nation state because that's where resistance from them can emerge and has emerged. They would like to smash Libya. They're in the process of that. They wanted to smash Syria. The same thing would go for Egypt. They would like to jettison most of Egypt and simply seize the Aswan High Dam and the Lake Nasser complex and the Suez Canal, and the rest of it can go to hell from the Anglo-American point of view. Israel is also under big pressure. Here on the other side of town, we have the United Nations General Assembly is basically coming together now in the course of this next week. There will be an attempt by the Palestinians to assert their statehood. In other words, the idea that they deserve a nation state, which I think is absolutely correct. They will get broad support from the world community. They may well get the two-thirds in the General Assembly that they need. If it gets to the Security Council, the United States will be forced to cast a very embarrassing, tormented, isolated veto. It'll be basically the U.S. against most of the world on the Palestinian state. The U.S. would like to avoid this just about at any cost. So a lot of shenanigans will be staged in order to obfuscate what's going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Right?
If there's a terror attack hurting children, then we can't have any statehood for anybody. Now continuing here, shifting gears.
Wait, Alex. In the same breath, notice that we have the 12 tyrants now. The 12 tyrants are meeting in Washington, right? The Super Committee or Super Congress. This is an illegal Bonapartist committee. It's a step towards dictatorship. But if the 12 tyrants and the actual Congress and Obama can't agree on a program of genocidal austerity, then there's going to be a guillotine coming down on the Pentagon to the tune of about $60 billion per year. Now, some would say that fact alone would motivate the special forces underground, let's say, to go out and pull a false flag stunt just to make sure that they don't lose their budget.
Oh, well, over the weekend, you must have missed it in an audio interview with Human Events. Rumsfeld, we should play it later. It's up on Infowars.com. Rumsfeld said, he came out and openly said, if you cut, in fact, put it on screen, guys, Human Events, Rumsfeld, if you cut defense budget, there will be another attack. That's like Cheney on Meet the Press.
Yeah, right.
You know, 7 years ago, saying, if there's a 9/11 investigation, there will be a nuclear attack. They are communicating to governments and agencies, yes, we're terrorists, we'll stage it. That's why they make these statements that are open, but where they can have double meaning. I meant we won't have the funds to protect you, there'll be a nuclear attack. But the way they state it, you cut our funding, buddy, we're going to attack you. Very sickening.
The other thing going on here in New York, a lot of stuff happening in the Big Apple. Out here in Forest Hills, out in Queens, and then into Brooklyn, we have the Anthony Weiner Congress seat, House of Representatives, and that's an open seat now, so they're having a by-election. And it looks like the Republican, he's just a conservative party reactionary hack. But that would be a protest against Obama. And I say, if the Republican wins that seat out there in Queens, the Democratic Party has to dump Obama. There's got to be a candidate to challenge Obama in the primary.
And there's more talk of Obama being thrown under the bus politically by the Democrats. Stay there, Webster, though. I want to get to Libya. Because the Pentagon just announced, yes, they've got troops there. They're claiming they just arrived. We've known they've been there for 6 months. It's all part of lying to the American people. We'll be right back. By the way, there's an article up at Infowars.com.
This is getting better.
Headline, major studies out, SpongeBob causes short-term attention problems and basically lowering of the IQ in children. If you watch children's cartoons now, it's all disjointed. It doesn't make sense. The characters look disjointed and twisted. And people think, oh, well, that's just a new cool genre or style. No. It is about blurring reality and false reality. And with young developing minds, it can really screw them up. Archetypal, good, clean fantasy, very good for the brain, very good for creativity. I've read the major studies, read books on the subject. But these disjointed things that don't make sense, and then that's supposed to be funny for an adult, very detrimental to children's brains. Television watching itself leads to Alzheimer's, brain damage. If you're watching a lot of it, it puts you in a REM state. That said, please subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv and watch us on television. No, seriously, we're reaching people through the matrix and through the system with news and information. And we're really busting our hind ends at PrisonPlanet.tv. The new nightly news program is very, very popular. People are really loving it. I know I'm really enjoying doing the show, condensing the information, focusing it down, the on-the-street reporters, the video interviews. We're going to get more reporters. We're going to add more shows. I've got a big plan here. And if you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, you get all my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, expanded extras, special reports, the nightly news, 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. You can get a yearly membership and get 3 months free. If you believe in alternative media, if you believe in really giving the globalists a run for their money, become a PrisonPlanet.tv member today. Check out some of the new media things we've launched at InfoWarsNews.com. That's InfoWarsNews.com. And again, we'll be on tonight, 7 o'clock. All right, let's go back to Webster. Webster, quickly here. We have called it all with precision. NATO, U.S. troops were there 6 months ago, called advisors. Now they admit larger U.S. ground forces are going onto the ground. As we said in September, October, here it is. Turns out Gaddafi, they've now gotten his intelligence briefs. He knew it was coming from intermediaries in Congress he was talking to. And here's Fox News. U.S. boots on the ground in Libya, Pentagon confirms. And former congressman says he saw NATO troops behead Libyans, Walter Fontroy. What do you think of that, Webster? You've been there.
Well,
Mr. Fontroy, let me just say who that is. That's an important guy. The District of Columbia, as people know, does not have a voting member in the House, which, of course, they should. They should have two. They got more people than Wyoming, so they should have two voting congressmen. But for a long time, they've had delegates. And Walter Fontroy is a veteran. He goes back to Martin Luther King. This is a fighter for civil rights who has a very impressive record. And he was replaced some years back by Eleanor Holmes Norton here in the district. But he's kept up with the causes. And he was over there. And he was with Maxi Darius Nazem Roaya and Thierry Maison in that at Corinthia Hotel. And later on moved around. And some of the other guys made it out through Malta on a harrowing 36-hour trip on the Mediterranean. But I guess Fontroy, I'm not up on the details right now with Fontroy, but I'm glad he's safe because this is a person of great merit and, kind of an elder statesman of civil rights.
No, because he was black.
He's black.
I was about to say, because he was black, he had to hide for a month because Al-Qaeda, under NATO command, was trying to kill him, and he watched out windows, he's now reporting, as they murdered blacks en masse. He had to hide because Al-Qaeda was going to kill him.
Absolutely. That's the Benghazi Tobruk Darna axis of terror. And we know that the guy, this awful guy, Belhaj, Hasidi Hasadi Belhaj, that's all the same guy. He operates under numerous aliases, right? But he's...
Stay there, Webster. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. I'm going to do 5 more minutes with you, then calls and news. I got to apologize to stations that Webster does not like Al-Qaeda.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, even if you want to put Al-Qaeda in charge of Libya and give them tens of billions of dollars and heat-seeking missiles, you believe that's patriotic as the government says to do it. Still, you've been lied to. I mean, the West started the war, started the attempted overthrow. It was an unpopular uprising. We're now 6-plus months into the Al-Qaeda uprising, 5 months with the peace bombing effort launched by Lord Obama, and, of course, the Italians and the French and the British. But now, here they are like we're idiots. U.S. boots on the ground in Libya, Pentagon confirms Fox News. Despite repeated assurances from President Obama military leaders that the U.S. would not send uniformed military personnel to Libya, for U.S. service members arrived. 4 U.S. service members arrived on the ground in Tripoli over the weekend. 4? I mean, 3 months ago, I had guests on who I confirmed who they were, who said that there were dead U.S. troops coming in from Libya. And then foreign media videotape Europeans and Americans firing weapons. Webster, you were there during all of this. I mean, they talk to us like we're children, Webster.
I believe the report was that a boat carrying U.S. and other NATO special forces arrived in Benghazi around the 15th or 16th or 17th of February, somewhere in there. You remember the Dutch special forces were captured. British Special Forces and MI6 were captured by, in some cases, by the Benghazi rebels themselves. So we got the situation where the military commander of the city of Tripoli is Belhaj Hasidi Hasadi, a hard...
Webster, your phone cut out. Are you there? We lost his cell. Call him back so we can finish. Wow, look at this other news. Super Earth, one of 50 newfound planets. Newfound alien planets could potentially support life. Amazing. The stuff that our technology is discovering. The problem is we're lied to so much you never even know what's true anymore. Okay, now Webster's going to get back on and finish, but just a few months ago he was in Libya while it was under bombardment, and I want him to be able to finish up on... Former congressman or congressional delegate from the District of Criminals, I saw NATO troops behead Libyans. Walter Fontroy claims he saw NATO troops behead Libyans as part of a siege to overthrow Gaddafi's regime, a conflict he attributes to geopolitical agenda to recolonize Africa. Well, yeah, they want it for a big base. But hey, Obama's supposedly part African, so it makes it okay. I mean, I guess if a black guy robs a black guy, is it all right? Or if a white guy robs a white guy? What if a Native American robs a Native American? Does that make it okay? No. But again, because of his color, and that's, by the way, what we said was going to happen and what Tarpley said was going to happen in the Obama deception, is that Africa is going to be invaded, and we show troops invading Libya and predict that Libya would be invaded in the Obama deception. More important now than 2.5 years ago when I put it out. Came out March 13th, 2009. Was going to come out the 15th, but the FBI showed up here asking questions about it and wouldn't say why, and I said, uh-oh, we better get it out now. And then people didn't believe the FBI had been here. And then, of course, later it came out in the Associated Press that they had been here. People are like, this is a stunt for the Obama deception. Webster, we're going to break. We'll come back to you since your phone cut out. And I want you to finish up on this former congressional delegate, congressman from District of Criminals, saying he saw all this. You know, Watson says he claimed it. Everything you said that was going on in Libya has now been proven. What he's saying has happened in other cases. I mean, you can question him, but I think it's prima facie right there on the face of it. We'll be right back. The websites are prisonplanet.tv and infowars.com. Your calls and a mass of news.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're going to be on television tonight, 7 o'clock Central, every weeknight. What a commitment we have engaged in. InfoWars Nightly News. We have several extremely informative guests that I'll tell you about at the end of the show today. They're going to be joining us. We've got several very important news packages we're producing. I mean, this is real news that we're engaged in. And we've put a huge investment into it. We couldn't have done this without InfoWars.com supporters. The visitors to the site, folks that support our advertisers, people that click on our sponsors, folks that buy books, T-shirts, videos at InfoWars.com. PrisonPlanet.tv is really growing. And now you can go to the site by going to InfoWarsNews.com. And in the next 6 months or so, I got a couple other projects I'm about to launch. We're going to have a whole new news site. I mean, you see the look of the new pages that we've put together at InfoWarsNews.com. There's going to be a whole new site with a whole bunch of other functions there at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to begin migrating, not away from PrisonPlanet.tv, but with a whole new site. And so when you join one site, you're a member with both. That's basically what we're going to move towards, or some other system similar to that, where you join one site and then, you know, get a passcode for the other. The point is, I believe in having multiple systems, multiple backups, but also variations to them. That's always been my gut instinct with media operations, and it's held us in good stead. We have had TV and different cable systems and folks interested in carrying a show, but I'm not ready yet. We're in the beta testing mode, and you see all that at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're getting a lot of new members. It looks good. Looks like we're on target to be able to continue our expansion if you continue to support us. So please buy the great stainless steel water filters at InfoWars.com, made in America. Buy the books, buy the videos, buy the materials, and spread the word about the show, and it's a win-win-win. You get materials to raise your awareness to a higher level, then you can pass on the book or the DVD or make copies of my films or air them on Access Television or show them to your church or show them to your neighbor. Every person you wake up is invaluable in the fight against tyranny. But then it also makes our operation possible when you buy a water filter, a T-shirt, a ball cap, a video. And then all of it helps get the word out because it finances the radio show, the TV show, the media, the research, the graphics people, all of it. We are well above. We've got like 34 people now. That is a big nut to crack at the end of each month. But we're doing it. We also did something very, very exciting, and I'm going back to finish with Webster Tarpley and then your calls and a bunch of news. I'm sick of flying, and I'm sick of having my friends and family groped in front of me. And so I try to not drive. I try to not fly. But still, I have to sometimes in the interest of time. And people want me to travel and speak at radio stations. They want me to get on the road more. You know what? I'm going to announce it later in the week. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'll announce it later in the week. It's just that I am going to be doing more road trips, more speaking engagements. You want it, you got it. Okay? Just going to leave it at that. I'll be doing the TV show from the road. We've got a vehicle, and I'm going to turn it into a communications hub. And we've got some ground transportation. I'll just leave it at that. Now we need to buy the equipment for it and get it all retrofitted and everything. It's a nice bus / RV, but it looks like something out of a topless bar on the inside. And it's pretty racy on the outside, but it was the best deal we could get. It's definitely a Millennium Falcon level. It's great, but it's also, it's like 11 years old and definitely a pimp game type vehicle. So I've got and I'm not a flashy person, but it was the cheapest one we could get that had the quality. All right, side issue. Going to Tarpley. Tarpley, this is really unspeakably wild because it's backed up by what you witnessed. It's backed up by Reuters, even Washington Post, even Al Jazeera, that's pro-war, has had to admit, yeah, there's piles of dead black people everywhere, women, children, men. They take them out and kill them, even though, of course, there's black Libyans. And you reported on that going on in the East months and months ago, it was confirmed, hanging black men from lamp poles, but we now have a well-known, respected former U.S. congressman or delegate from the District of Columbia, but technically a congressman, Walter Fontroy, said that he had to hide out for a month, that he was presumed dead, for those that didn't know, and that he was having to hide out and took him a month to get out because blacks were being killed on the spot, and we know even Anglo reporters were being sniped and shot by Al-Qaeda and NATO forces. This is a new level of war crime. But I guess because Obama is heading it up, there won't be any war crime charges because he's the man of peace, because he was given that peace prize.
I think it's a tremendous embarrassment now for Obama in the black community to have an eyeball witness of the moral authority and historical stature of Delegate Fauntroy. That's going to be something Obama will have to deal with. It's going to hurt him a lot. The other thing is, these are the new vandals, right? The new Al-Qaeda rulers of Libya are like the vandals. Those were the ones, they came out of Asia. They went all the way around through Spain and into North Africa. They took over Libya, and then they started taking over Sicily and Sardinia and Corsica, and that's who sacked Rome in 476, right? That's the end of the empire. So what you're going to have is Al-Qaeda pirates in the Mediterranean. And just a couple of examples. There's this guy Salabi, right? We just went through Belhaj. Belhaj is bad enough. Salabi came out a couple of days ago. He's another one of these terrorist commanders who's now, the boss of Libya. And he says that the former Gaddafi ministers in the Benghazi rebel council are no longer acceptable to the killers. In other words, the gunmen want to get rid of these former Gaddafi guys. And that means Jalil is the head of state and Jibril is the head of government, the guy who pals around with Hillary Clinton. And it sounds to me like they're getting ready to eliminate those two. This guy, Salabi and Belhaj, those guys are prime suspects, along with Hifter, in the killing of Yunus, right? The military commander of the rebels was assassinated a little bit more than a month ago now. And there were unconfirmed reports over the weekend that Jalil had been assassinated, that the head of state of the rebels had simply been gunned down.
Yeah, so the rebels are busy killing each other, and Al-Qaeda is starting to knock people out so they can fully take over. And undoubtedly, the West is going to be very proud of that and think that the public has no memory. And in a couple of years, we'll be having to give up our liberties and invade Libya again to battle Al-Qaeda. And they'll probably even claim that Al-Qaeda is working for Gaddafi or something.
Here's another scenario. You get the Al-Qaeda regime in Libya to invade Algeria, and then the U.S. invades Algeria to protect them from Al-Qaeda, or some variation on that. Because remember, Algeria is now a target. That's another big country, big oil producer, very valuable place. Algeria has not supported the Al-Qaeda rebellion in Libya at all, and the U.S. is furious. They always wanted to overthrow Algeria. Algeria has 50,000 Chinese workers, and the U.S. and the British want them kicked out. So Algeria, big target in the coming weeks.
Very interesting, Webster. But again, is there any way to start some type of war crimes movement for the racial genocide going on? That's naive. The U.N. ran the Ivory Coast invasion that killed tens of thousands, and admittedly, their rebel forces were slaughtering people en masse. This is truly a criminal group drenched in blood at every level.
I think that stopping the support of Al-Qaeda and stopping this imperialist interference should become an important program point in an emerging mass strike movement. And again, if we have the collapse of the European banking system over the next 2 months, which I think is more than likely, that will soon be followed by a banking panic in the United States, and then we will need to implement a recovery program and a mass strike, right? What began in Wisconsin in February, I think will come back on a much larger scale after having gone underground for 6 months or whatever it's been. And at that point, this will be some demand that can be raised. And 9/11 also gets fed into that. In other words, we want to stop the drills, stop the totalitarianism, stop false flag attacks. And that's part of the general movement to break the power of the Wall Street finance oligarchy, because that's the enemy, that's the goal. Wall Street, Wall Street, Wall Street. Fight bankers. That's the great point.
Webster Tarpley, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your analysis.
You. Bye-bye, Alex. Congratulations on your program.
Oh, the television show? Thank you, Webster.
Yeah, right.
Well, I hope people spread the word about the TV show. Because it really is going to reach millions and millions of people. It's already reaching. Well, it's already reached a couple million. We've been posting most of the nightly news a day later on the Alex Jones channel at prisonplanet.tv. So it's being posted at prisonplanet.tv immediately. It's being restreamed after it first airs. But then it is also being posted over on the YouTube channel. Now, in the future, we're not going to post all of it. We're going to post highlights on the YouTube channel, because we have to wean ourselves away from YouTube to a certain point, because they are censoring people more and more. They are trying to restrict our accounts more and more. And so we've got to more and more focus on building up our own operation so that we can also capitalize and produce more shows that can then be deployed to different cable systems and satellite systems. And again, we're not going to be on the big marquee channels like Fox or whatever, but we will be here and there on systems reaching millions of people globally. So it's just another Hydra head that we're growing to attack the New World Order. All right, your calls straight ahead, and I've got a bunch of news on the fires.
Way up north to Alaska. Way up north. North to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92. With George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy, too. They crossed the Yukon River and found the Bonanza Gold. Below that old white mountain.
Coming up, Luke Radowski is going to pop in and tell us what he witnessed at Ground Zero this weekend, this Sunday, as the system squeezed out whatever blood they could of the victims of 9/11 to sell their police state in the end of America. It has become a holiday to celebrate fear and hysteria and lies. So we'll be talking to Luke briefly. I want to go to Austin, Swiss guy Steve, Freddie, and Jason. We'll at least get to you guys before Luke joins us. And then I have other news here that I don't know if I can do justice to this in the time we have. Ron Paul, call him a nut, out of the Washington Post. That's the headline. And then the reasons he's a nut is he says the currency's been devalued. And the guy goes on to say that's insane. Now, for anyone who has common sense, you know this is an insane article where the person is an unintellectual fool, Eric Wimple, Mr. Wimple. But this guy may have a wimpy psychological makeup, but he doesn't. He knows full well that that's a real problem we face and going on. I mean, you can listen to the financial channels. That's all they talk about. So what is he doing there? He thinks his audience are a bunch of idiots. Oh, look, that guy's a kook. He said buy gold and it's up 900%. Crazy person. It'd be like if you were a NFL scout and you scouted, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks in history, and everybody's like, ha ha, ha ha, you know, he made an incredibly good scouting choice. He's a kook. Oh, this guy made a stock market bet that made him 1,000 times the money back. He's crazy. But they do that more and more. It's all just about the laughing. Ha ha ha, the guy's crazy. Ha ha. Just counting on readers to go, oh, well, he's a kook. It's kooky to say silver's a good investment. I've got that. And then I've got this. I see these articles all the time and never really get into it. And I know that there are really about 6-7 different groups of gypsies around the world. But all the time I read about stuff they're up to, depending on which group it is. And then in Austin, it's real politically correct to say it's a lie and that it's discrimination and that gypsies don't ever do anything wrong. And that's just not true. And people culturally need to tell folks this behavior is wrong so that it isn't done anymore. I mean, are there Christian groups of gypsies and different groups that aren't involved in crime? Yes, I've actually researched this topic, and there are a lot of them that aren't. But still, there are the groups that believe it's culturally okay to do it. My wife grew up in Europe. She lived in 5 different countries. My parents have been to Europe a lot. I've never had any run-ins when I've been in Europe, but they say that, yeah, it's bad. I mean, they'll come grab your purse away, grab your food right off your plate, demand money. And whenever national TV shows clips of it, they'll always call them Spanish or Italians. No. And then blame the Spanish or the Italians. No, it's gypsies. And this is political correctness where the post office won't deliver Bibles now saying that they're homophobic in England. That's in the news. That was in the Daily Mail yesterday. But then this headline, travelers who kept and starved slaves reduced one who was on the brink of committing suicide from a bridge. And that's how police discovered it. And they had all these people kept in dog kennels and horse boxes covered in feces who would be delivered out of the caravans to work from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Recovering driveways and things like that. That's a classic traveler. By the way, I've been told you're not even supposed to say the name gypsy because it's like DynCorp changed their name for a while. Of course, they're a corporation, so they can't say it's racist to call us DynCorp. Or Monsanto changed their name for a while, then changed it back. It's like a name that's a bad connotation, and then you're not supposed to say it. And there's a lot of different cultures of travelers. Not all of them are the folks who came from India probably about 1,500 years ago. And a lot of gypsies I find it fascinating. Yeah, I think I'm going to get some experts on, including the UT professor, who's like one of the leaders of the gypsies, on. But they found 2 dozen modern-day slaves kept in dog kennels covered in feces. Well, they deserved it because the travelers can do no wrong. This is their culture to kidnap people. Come on. Those people deserve to live in dog cages. Anybody that criticizes is racist.
Came in last night at 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in. So move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, little dog, cause the big dog's moving in.
That's right, the big dog's moving to television.
She's
changed the lock on our
door. We're beta testing it at prisonplanet.tv. If you're not a subscriber and a member, please become one today. We'll be on tonight, 7 o'clock Central. All right, I promise. I'm going to your calls right now ahead of Luke Radowski. Swiss guy, got to talk to you. Austin, Freddie, Steve, we're going to get to everybody. I have to go into overdrive, but we're going to do it right now. I just want to finish this article. This is the Daily Mail. Travelers, that's gypsies, it doesn't say which tribe, who kept and starved slaves, rescued one who was on the brink of committing suicide from a bridge, vulnerable victims lured from soup kitchens, benefit offices, and hostels, slaves kept in filthy kennels and horse boxes, one held for 15 years, five people from Travelers' site arrested. Two dozen modern-day slaves held in appalling conditions were rescued when police raided a Travelers camp yesterday. About 200 officers stormed the site where the men were kept in filthy caravans, dog kennels, and horse boxes. Some were starving. The vulnerable victims have been lured from soup kitchens, benefit offices, and hostels with promises of paid jobs and shelter. That's how DynCorp and others have been caught kidnapping women all over Europe. See, these people's problems are they didn't go work for the New World Order. They can fly first class in jets and kidnap whoever they want. Openly, CPS openly ships kids out of the U.S. every day to their tortured deaths. And it's just like, hey, we're the U.S. government. instead, they became slaves after their masters beat them into submission, stole their possessions, and shaved their heads. They were put to work in grueling manual labor jobs, paving driveways and clearing rubble because they were deemed cheaper than hiring machinery from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. At least one man had been kept as a slave for 15 years. Another was found with dog excrement all over his clothes. Investigators are now working to uncover the true scale of the harm amid speculation that there may have been hundreds of victims. As if people don't know when they pull up and let somebody out of a cage to clean their yard. But see, there's no see something, say something campaign for this. No. And I'll just say this in closing. People who claim that this is not gypsy culture need to decry it and speak out against it instead of running around all over TV, because I've kind of made an interesting study of this, I find it interesting, lecturing everyone that it isn't true, that this is part of the culture, that it's okay to rob and steal from people. If this isn't your culture, then you need to speak out against it instead of saying it isn't going on. Because I see stuff like this every few weeks, and then anybody who criticizes it is attacked. And gypsy groups that are not into this kind of stuff, and I did some research, there are some that actually aren't involved in this stuff, you need to speak out against it instead of going around saying it isn't happening. This is a big issue. And look, every culture gets the attitude of everybody else is scum. We can do this. The Native Americans were treated like they were scum by white people. That's wrong. Okay? It was wrong in the culture to say that. Every other tribe or group thinks that they're better than everybody. The point is we need to be honest about this. It's like Aztec culture. People say, don't judge. You can't judge a culture. Well, the Nazis had a bad culture. The Aztecs would sacrifice their children. I'm going to make a moral decision, and that's bad. And I've had university professors attack me for criticizing Aztecs. Well, I'm against the Druids sacrificing their children. I mean, those are white people. You see, the system doesn't want you to be able to make a moral judgment because they want to make all the judgments for you. They say there are no morals, but then they moralize to you all day. Okay? And I've had friends, I've had family robbed by gypsies in Europe. My wife lived in Rome for 6 years. So don't tell her that that isn't going on. Don't tell these people. See, it's time to stop being politically correct. It's time to stop it. And it's just like with cops. When there's bad cops on the force and people let that become the culture, it makes all the cops look bad. And it's the same thing with the diverse traveler culture. I know there's a whole bunch of groups. And a lot of the subgroups and other groups get blamed for some of the other criminal groups. The point is that it needs to be exposed. It needs to be talked about before it gets out of control. Let's go ahead and talk to Austin in Arizona. Austin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for holding.
Hey, so I wanted to make a comment.
and I had a quick video that I wanted to play on air if I could.
I don't know if we have time, but go ahead.
Okay. Let me play the video real quick. It's only a couple seconds. It's from NY1.com, and it talks about how the police are manipulating crime statistics and the corruption of the police. Here it is.
The Village Voice is releasing some shocking recordings made inside a Brooklyn police precinct. The Voice says the tape show precinct bosses pressuring cops to make their monthly quotas of arrests, stop and frisks, and urging officers to report fewer actual crimes in order to manipulate crime statistics.
Okay. Yeah, I know. That goes on everywhere. They cover up real crime. They release violent offenders, and they keep nonviolent all over the U.S. in prison longer than violent. They want violence out, causing mayhem to scare the public to want more police in prison. They want the nonviolent building widgets. And, yes, I was aware of that in New York City. It's come out everywhere. The cops have put full-page ads in saying, we don't want to arrest a pregnant woman for sitting on a bench more than 5 minutes. We don't want to arrest an old lady for throwing a newspaper in the trash. We're ordered to go after non-criminals. So, in fairness to the police, they don't like it either. Go ahead.
And, right. And I also wanted to point out that, you know, I think that the biggest change that needs to happen with society is I think we need to get back to the basics. And, you know, what I mean is I think that we need to start bringing back the community, and we need to start bringing back the family, because we can change the government, which is good, and restore the republic, but if we still don't have unity, then, you know, I don't see how it could hold up, you know.
I agree with you. Great points. Thank you so much, sir. Really fabulous points, and so simple. Let's talk to Swiss guy in Switzerland. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Alex.
Hi, welcome.
I'm calling from Switzerland, and I really appreciate your show. I follow you since a while. And just to say that even in Switzerland, the people are struggling, and the people are watching what you are doing. A big up to the whole crew of InfoWar and PrisonPlanet.tv. And I have one request. One request is that a lot of people of whole international, of the whole world, watching you. And I think it would be nice if you have some more coverage of international news or happenings. I think I know that it's the proximity for you is really important to have.
Remember, the United States is the center of the global empire now. And so it's kind of like we're in the middle of Rome and the Roman Empire. But I agree with you that we should cover more of what's happening around the world. But whatever's happening here is being duplicated where you're at. This is a global system.
Definitely, I agree, and we see it like today. We watch every day. We watch the stock market, and we see it like how it goes. And here it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the stock market in Europe in US open, and we are watching it closely, and we see it every time how it goes. Anyway, I just have to request that the important thing is also that a lot of things happening worldwide, and I think it would be nice if you have some. Maybe international correspondent that would talk to you per Skype or something, because I agree that U.S. is like the whole global system, catch the whole global system, but mm-hmm. but a lot of side effects coming to Europe, coming to different countries in the whole world. And I think your show is so important and so great. It
well,
would be
Swiss
nice
guy.
To have some more
Swiss guy, you're even nice to, you know, to call in and stay on hold, and I appreciate you. We do cover international issues. We probably should cover more because it's a very small planet. As you know, a lot of the bailout money went to foreign banks because it's foreign banks that have taken over the U.S. They've taken over your country, and I know that dollar devaluation worldwide has been driving up your Swiss franc, so now you've had to devalue it. So certainly, it's the very same banksters and their fractional reserve system that is hammering us all. We have covered, of course, the nuclear processing plant exploding today in France. We've been covering Libya. We've been covering Iran. I would say we're actually pretty heavily heavily balanced towards foreign news, but there's so much interesting news happening overseas. Give me some examples of some news you'd like to see us cover.
They would cover up your some stories from outside, like calling by phone. Your night show is really great. And it's just a suggestion. I mean, maybe you can just make a call up from some guys who have already video programs or something open. And that is just an idea. But I have another issue, Alex.
Sure.
I really appreciate your show, and I follow you. I come every day a couple of times to your website, Infowar.com. And just one thing is really, you like you say, we have informed ourselves about what's happening in the world and stuff. And I just watched like a 7-hour DVD about 9/11, where they say there was even no plane around. And I saw some videos where it's only explosions and no video. And anyway, but the thing is that your website is in red, blue, and white. And this is my biggest issue, because when I coming back to your website after this 6-hour DVD, I realized that these colors are the Freemasons colors. And I'm personally quite shocked, because I know, I hope you don't do that because of this, but I think definitely there have to be a change to do. Your new website and your stuff is really good, but these colors have to disappear, because these colors are like
sure.
Blue, red, and white are the Freemasons.
Sure. Swiss guy, look, I appreciate your call, and we're going to go to Luke Radowski and then back to your calls. Freddie, CJ, Steve, and Jason, we'll at least get to those calls before we end the transmission today, but I want to get an update of what happened on Ground Zero. I am not scripted. I don't have a teleprompter. I don't screen your phone calls. We're not into color theory and things like that. We're not into subliminals. You know, I've had graphic people before kind of copy TV and have some fast-moving stuff, and people say, hey, that's subliminal. Well, that's just us copying television style. As for red, white, and blue being Mason colors, I mean, I think in Masonic stuff, there's all sorts of color use. Obviously, our country's color is red, white, and blue. The French colors are red, white, and blue. I like blue and white. And I told Kurt Nemo when he redesigned InfoWars years ago, I said, I want it to look like blue and white, and I want to have a map of the world at the top. And he did a couple different variants. I said, I like that. So I like blue and white. And then there, I guess sometimes when a story's really important, we copy the Drudge Report where he red links something. So I guess, yeah, I'm like, hey, add a function where if something's really important, it's a red link. And so, yeah, then you get red, white, and blue. But I don't even really know that that's some coded color, but I believe you've done research and know something I don't know. But I mean, the site's got green on it. I've worn green shirts before and get emails saying I'm a secret jihadist because I'm wearing green. Look, green is my favorite color. I'm a Christian, but if that's proof that I'm a jihadi, then so be it. Again, you have to judge the show off of the information I cover. Okay, I mean, do you think the globalists like what I'm doing? Do you think they like me up here exposing their system? No. All right, going to Luke Radowski. I wanted to get Luke to pop in, founder of We Are Change, great journalist and activist in his own right, to break down what the feeling was of the crowds there, the checkpoints all over the city, and how it was used for a police state. 10 years later, Luke, what's your view on 9/11 and what you witnessed at this important memorial?
I mean, this event, this anniversary was unlike any other. I mean, the police barricaded miles of New York City. It took at least an hour to get from one block to another. It was the most craziest thing since the Obama inauguration, with National Guard on the street with M16 rifles, shotguns, full force. They were searching people. They were searching people's bags, detaining people for wearing a 9/11 was an inside job t-shirt, and telling them they couldn't get near the memorial because they had a 9/11 was an inside job t-shirt. It was one of the most intense things, total lockdown of the city. Police were everywhere, and you couldn't get around. You couldn't move around anywhere, and it was really just insane seeing the full force out there.
Luke, let me stop you. This is big breaking news, and I'm going to cover it tonight then on television, and we're going to get an article out because you are a reporter and respected. How fast can you get footage, or is there footage of the police saying, if you have a 9/11 truth shirt, you weren't even allowed anywhere near on public streets. That is huge discrimination.
Yes, I believe there's a video working. There's a video in the process of being uploaded right now by another 9/11 activist that was there, that was actually detained by them. It should be uploaded very soon. If I have the link, I'll send it.
Yeah, more and more. That was the talking point we cover in Truth Rising. Is Fox, CNN, MSNBC? They say 9/11 Truth works with Al Qaeda. It's not just that we're exposing the government did it. We're really terrorists. And, of course, we have the police saying your camera is a gun and a bomb and that they're going to frame you. That's in Truth Rising. So this is a standard MO now. Tell me more, Luke.
And they even arrested a man for speaking out against 9/11 Truth. He was, of course, raising his voice. He immediately had cops come on him and detain him and arrest him for just simply speaking out.
So now it's like North Korea. Now, not only are there checkpoints and people being searched and military with guns, but now they arrest you. Wow. Land of the free,
intense.
Huh?
It was pretty intense. People were all over the place. I actually got a lot of great interviews with family members who supported new investigations, who didn't want to be used by the administration to prop up their propaganda. So I've been just working on a lot of videos this weekend. You're going to be seeing them on YouTube.com/WeAreChange. I'm going to release a new video every morning. And it was just one of the surrealist. You couldn't get anywhere near the memorial. Usually any other event, you had a press identification card. They would let you right into the memorial and be there with everything. But it was just the most complete, controlled lockdown that I ever seen in New York City. And it was surreal seeing just people just like scattered all over the place. And it definitely wasn't well put together at all.
Well, they're definitely upset. I've talked to a lot of insiders that 9/11 Truth continues to surround the Ground Zero area, but you're saying this time they had checkpoints blocks and blocks away and that you couldn't even get into the general area where the hotels are, anything, if you had a 9/11 Truth shirt. Wow, that is Soviet.
Yeah, they had a couple streets that were able that anybody was able to walk by, but if you wanted to get near the memorial, near the viewing station, you have to get to a police checkpoint where they were stopping people with investigate 9/11 t-shirts and investigate 9/11 t-shirts, and they pretty much just pinned in people near the memorial with barricades, with tape everywhere, and they just locked it all down. And
Luke, stay there. Incredible. And this is only one more step away from take them away, arresting them. Well, I guess they already did arrest a guy, so. Be part of the real alternative media, not the counterfeits that are out there claiming that they are the truth or that they are the cutting edge of alternative information. Hey, it's a free-for-all. I hope Glenn Beck doesn't continue his globalist ways, but he clearly is copying much of what we do. And they say that's one of the most sincere forms of flattery, so fine. He launches his show today. Well, ours has been launched for years, but we've launched the nightly news in the last few weeks at prisonplanet.tv, and we're going to add a lot more in the future. So please become a member and support the true alternative media at prisonplanet.tv. And please spread the word about InfoWars Nightly News. And those of you that are members, underwrite the development of a much more prolific and powerful system. Luke, I know talking to some of the first responders, firefighters, police, and others who were barred from the event because they're angry about the dust and the rest of it. In all fairness, I did see CBS News actually doing a report about it this weekend, admitting that there was a cover-up, that they were saying that they were going to try to go through the lines and protest up at the gates. Did you get any intel on what happened with that?
Any form of protesting or any form of activism was virtually impossible down in New York City on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. It was impossible to walk anywhere. There was crowds everywhere, corralled in cages. You couldn't go from one place to another without waiting 20 minutes. All the streets were blocked off. Everything was the tightest security again that I ever saw in my life. So I didn't see. I saw first responders walking around in the crowd. That's all I was able to see. But I was not able to see any first responders do any of that. And it was just a very chaotic, it was just all over the place. But I met many loving and caring people that came all over Europe, even as far as Australia, just to be there, just to stand in solidarity with the first responders, with the family members who were demanding a new investigation into 9/11.
Well, The good news is, Luke, I know you travel the world and talk to a lot of people, but from my perspective as a media person, you know, the general public isn't known, so they don't know how many people are awake. But when you are a prominent media person and you walk down the street and every other person, you know, comes up and says 9/11 is an inside job, you know we're winning this fight. And so there's this hoax the media is running that 9/11 truth is dead. I think instead of dead, it's just seen as common sense now and has become the pervasive fact. And so it has lost some of its push to ever bring the perpetrators to justice because there's now 10 years on. So do you see the paradox I'm talking about?
Yeah, they're definitely setting an illusion, making us feel isolated, that we're alone, that nobody feels the way we do. But just being on the streets in New York City, even just walking by or doing interviews with random people, I find that the majority of people, especially when it comes to 9/11, know that there's something wrong. All they have to do is look at just a clip of Building 7 collapsing. And sadly, the mainstream media has not been doing their job. They have been calling us fringe. They have been calling us crazy. But there's nothing crazy about asking questions and demanding answers and not doing what they do. They haven't held any of our politicians accountable, and that's why we're here. That's why we're asking people like Thomas Keene real legitimate questions, and you see him running, ducking and diving away from a simple question. And that's all we're trying to show here is, like, the information is being denied to us, and they're not showing us what's really happening. And I hope people slowly start waking up, and they are, and understanding that what we see on TV is not the reality, it's not the truth. It's only what corporate masters, corporate puppets want us to know, want us to believe, want us to think. But as soon as we let that go, we start freeing ourselves, and that's when a real evolution will take place, where we will be able to actually take back this country and actually inspire people to actually do something. And I'm not giving up. I talked to Richard Gates last night, and we had a long conversation, and we told each other, I'm not giving up anytime.
Well, Luke, you're doing a superlative job. The main radio show is now over, but we'll be PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars audio stream for a little while longer because I promised to get to Freddie, CJ, and Steve at least. But Luke, I want to say bye to you during the break here as we end the official radio show. I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, PrisonPlanet.tv. Be there.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, let's blast through three calls quickly. I appreciate you holding. Freddie in New Jersey, you're a trooper. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hey, Alex.
Hey.
Hey, just wanted to add, history books do lie. We're never taught the real history of this country. You know, we get books loaded with cover stories. Criminal elements do run our country. We saw this with the JFK assassination, by the way, which I think Fletcher Prouty proved that it was a conspiracy. People don't study why he got killed, because that's the real question, is why.
Well, by history books, you've got to read a whole bunch of them and then study human nature, and then you start to get a grasp. But you're right. You don't get the truth just reading one history book. Or if you see a history book being promoted by the nightly news, you better believe it's full of a bunch of bull.
Yeah, and I think that when he died, you know, part of this country died, because it's changed for the worse ever since he died.
Well, yeah, I mean, Kennedy wasn't perfect, but you got a real CIA banker Wall Street coup at that point. Before, they were pretty much running the show, but at that point, they were top dogs, and they set up a property tax, everything else, to shut down the middle class and transfer everything to themselves. Great points, Freddie. Let's talk to Steve in New York. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Alex. It's been a while, actually. I've listened to you for a number of years. You even talked me into getting active back in the New York camera band thing, and that's when I met Luke and all the We Are Change guys. And so great hearing him again. It's been a while, actually. But, yeah, I'm just a couple of things. Yeah, New York this weekend, you couldn't even get into this city, even Friday night. You know, I thought I could sneak in Friday night to do some stuff, and you got like a two-hour backup in every direction. All the cars would ferry down the one lane. You had to kind of run the gauntlet.
Yeah, no, that's done on purpose to shut down human mobility. They use all these as beta test drills on how to shut down and control society.
Mm-hmm. And they've got, like, you know, these, like, little tickers that go behind the cars now, like, see something, say something, and whatever else they want to have put up there.
No. Yeah, New York is a beta test for how all the rest of the world is going to operate. Just a hellish third-world police state.
Mm-hmm. Also, you were mentioning before on the Building 7, it made me, because I was downtown doing 9/11, and I was actually filming around 4 or 5 o'clock. And same thing, the cops were saying, okay, in fact, the cop I talked to said it was the FedEx building was coming down because it had been damaged and, you know, it was unsafe. And I was, like, across the street, so I couldn't see his mistake. But, yeah, they kept, like, shuttling all this up to Canal Street. And by the time they got up to Canal Street, that's when you felt the rumble and everything. Yeah, they definitely...
Well, that's another thing. You can hear, right before 7 falls, they blow the core columns, you hear, pow, 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 and then there goes the penthouse with the centrals, then the inside. I mean, it's a perfect demolition, and you ought to see the information. I've got to carry the DVD. It's not out yet, but Richard Gage has this expert speak. And it's like all these top guys who've built giant skyscrapers, you know, famous architects, saying, yes, this is a controlled demolition. But I don't need to be a famous architect to know that. I saw them do it, and I talked to the cops that were there and heard the 10-second countdown. They blew the stinking thing up. It's an inside job.
Yeah, I didn't hear a countdown, but everybody's walkie-talkies were chattering. You could tell suddenly it was like this buzz of activity. And it was like, oh, okay, there it goes.
Well, there you were, Steve. I can't tell you how many EMTs and cops. I've talked to cops that were in the CNN shot with the cops saying, get back. I've talked to the cop that was there with Amy Goodman, and you see her start running, and then it boom, boom, boom falls because there was a countdown. And people say, oh, are you saying cops did it? No, the cops are told it's coming down because of fires. They've got to bring it down. And the cops aren't demolition experts. And in all this story, they're like, actually, some cops I talked to that day were like, you're going to bring it down? Didn't it take time to do that? And they're like, don't worry about it, officer. Get out of here. They're bringing it down. And then it's like, all right, countdown, 10 seconds. Get out of here. All right, I appreciate your call. God bless you. I'm sorry to CJ in Michigan. You call me back tomorrow. You go to the head of the line, CJ. All right, I'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock. We're risking our lives, our treasure, everything. Please support us, become PrisonPlanet.tv members, and spread the word.